about the case. The test results on a white powder sent to the Jupiter, Florida home of Donald Trump Jr. said to be inconclusive, but the substance not considered deadly. On Wall Street, the Dow down 108 points. More details at srnnews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get back to the subject at hand, the issue that we're discussing today, the issue is the border crisis. We're talking about the southern border, the border crisis. It's an invasion. How should we respond to the invasion? Before we get back to that subject, let me remind you, we've been on this network of radio stations for about almost 10 years now, and we have enjoyed the ride. We've enjoyed the time that we've had together. If you'd call in, your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issues each and every day, 5 days a week. It's been our prayer the entire time that you would be blessed by it, informed by it, that you would be able to grow as a believer as a result of knowing what's taking place and being able to seek God's face and asking Him to heal our land. But we are going to have a serious increase in our broadcast cost beginning next month. And as a result of that, we're going to have to ask you to generously donate in order for this to continue on the air. We're going from about $48,000 a year to just under $72,000 a year. That's a pretty good increase. And I'm not blaming anybody for that, but I'm just simply saying that if you want to continue to have Let's Face the Issues on the air, we're asking for you to go today. Go to FCBC at FCBCATJax.com, FCBCATJax.com, and find the donate button and make a commitment for a serious, generous donation, one-time donation, or especially monthly contribution to support this broadcast as we continue to be faithful each and every day on the air, communicating the truth of what is taking place through the prism of the Word of God. I pray that it's a blessing. We're thankful for you and for your call. We're thankful for you and your support down through the years, and looking forward to be able to continue until Jesus comes, if that's what He wants us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the border crisis, invasion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. You've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'll say again, I believe we're in a state of mourning in America as a result of the condition of our nation. I believe that we're witnessing the undermining, the tearing down, the evisceration of the Constitutional Republic that God has given us in the United States of America. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness, that is rightness before God. Righteousness exalted. That word means to build up, to lift up, to glorify a nation. But sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a disgrace, an insult to any people. And I believe we're witnessing that today. So I pray that you are concerned about it as a Christian. I pray that you are watching what is taking place and you're interceding on behalf of our nation, asking God to heal our land, asking God to intervene divinely November the 5th of this year, 6 months from now, and put Donald J. Trump back in office as our president. Donald Trump is not a perfect person, and as I've told preachers in my dialogue and engagement with them about who to vote for and what we need to do, you'd be surprised how many Christians, how many preachers will say, well, President Trump's got some immorality in his background. President Trump says some ugly words, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not about to elect Jesus as president. We're looking for a man that God would be honored to use with a spine that's wide enough to drain the sewer in Washington. And that's the task that President Trump, I believe, can do. Under the leadership of God, under the empowerment of God, I believe God can use him to sweep with a clean broom, as the old cliche used to be, and take care of business in D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline, How Americans View the Situation at the U.S.-Mexico Border. It's Cause and Its Consequences, headline, subheadline. 80% of the U.S., 80% of the U.S. say the government is doing a bad job handling the migrant influx. Then the body of the article reads this way. Americans overwhelmingly fault the government of Joe Biden for how it has handled the migrant situation. Beyond that, however, there are deep differences over why the migrants are coming to the U.S., proposals for addressing the situation, and even whether it should be described as a crisis. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, there's some, if I can be bold and use some simple language, there's some dummies in Washington that still say that it's not a crisis, that still say that we're not facing a crisis, that this should be the norm. We should not be. In fact, AOC says that it would be inhumane to close the borders and keep people from coming because, after all, they're leaving dire situations and need to come to America. Ladies and gentlemen, America can handle only so many people. We're watching today the flooding of our borders. It's destroying the educational system. It's destroying our medical system. It will ultimately destroy our network, if you please, of undergirding those that really need in America, because the taxpayers' purses are being opened and pouring out the dollars to the immigrants coming in, the ones that are the invaders. This article reads, economic factors is one that they claim. Either poor conditions of the migrants' home countries are better economic opportunities than America. About 7 in 10 Americans, 71%, including the majority in both parties, cite better economic opportunities in the U.S. as a major reason. Ladies and gentlemen, why wouldn't they? Listen, why wouldn't they want to storm our borders and come in illegally? If they can get an envelope with $1,500 cash, if they can get an envelope with a cell telephone, that's prepaid and will be prepaid each and every month. If they've got an EBT card, that they get $1,500 restored in that card every 30 days. If they can come into America and get a five-star, four-star, five-star hotel that taxpayers are paying for, but they will have as their living condition. Why wouldn't they come to America if they could get three hot meals a day? New York City alone, ladies and gentlemen, I understand that it's costing the taxpayers there $64 a day for three hot meals a day for each of the invaders that's there, not counting the cost of housing and clothing and transportation to ship them any place in America they want to go. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, they get to the American borders, they're asked, where do you want to go? What state do you want to go to? What state do you want to live in? What city would you like to go to? And they get transportation, a free ticket, if you please, to go any place in America they want to go. Why wouldn't they come to America? Ladies and gentlemen, this article says 76% of the Republicans say they believe that U.S. immigration policies will make it easier to stay in our country once they arrive and cross the borders. A sizable majority of Americans, 78%, say the large number of migrants seeking to enter this country at the U.S. border is a crisis situation. Ladies and gentlemen, 78% recognize that I really believe that's a low number. That's the number that's written. That's the number that supposedly the surveys show, that 78% say that it's a crisis. So my question to you, our listener, are we facing a crisis at the southern border? If you believe it's a crisis, what is it a crisis of? What will the end results be? Where will we go? How will this affect the November election? How will this affect our hospitals? How will this affect our schools? How does it affect our total governance situation and scenario in America? What will it do if we have 5 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, if we have an election and we wind up with the, as in some cities now in California, they're allowing illegal invaders to go through police training and become law enforcement officers wearing a badge and a weapon on their hip, know nothing about the Constitution, know nothing about the rule of law, know nothing about the Bill of Rights, but yet they're going to be policing our streets. Now, that's bad enough, but ladies and gentlemen, once they're here, once they've gotten a driver's license and they're getting them, once they get an ID card and they're getting them, once they get a work permit and that's happening, the next thing you're going to find, city after city after city across America, allowing them to vote. Once they start voting, we're going to watch a total 100% change in the warp and the woof, that's the fabric, of the United States of America. I'm concerned. I love our nation. I love our flag. I'm thankful for what God has given us in a constitutional republic. And as Christians and as conservatives and patriots, we need to be concerned enough to stand up, speak up, be visible, be verbal, be victorious in standing and saying, enough is enough. Ladies and gentlemen, Americans should be concerned with the open borders. Here's why. Between 12 and 13 million invaders have entered in just the past 3.5, less than 4 years now, under the Biden administration. Secondly, the American medical, educational, and economic systems cannot handle the sudden burden. Some of the major hospitals in Texas, I believe it was one in Houston, said in 1 week's time, they had approximately 20,000 of the illegal invaders that had come in for medical care and said it was breaking the system. You see, in America, you can go to any emergency room, and they're required by law to take care of your medical needs, whether you have insurance or not. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the major, major, major things now that we're finding that's taking place that is frightening to me is that we have mega, major, major diseases that are now breaking out in America on a wholesale basis as a result of these immigrants coming in. I'm looking at a headline that says, disease surveillance among the U.S.-bound immigrants and refugees. And it's about an 8-page article. What's taking place in America with these illegal invaders that's coming in? We have TB, tuberculosis, that's skyrocketing. We have, this article says, syphilis, gonorrhea, measles. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I heard on the broadcast last evening, one of the networks, I believe it was Fox, that had a guest they were interviewing, Dr. Siegel, I believe it was, that said that the world's major center for measles is in Yemen. Yemen is where the Houthis are. The Houthis are the ones that are the right arm for the Iranian government. They're the ones that are attacking our ships and the British ships, and they're the ones that now are having exports of what they have coming across, going across the world, coming into America. I don't know about you, but I noticed on the map they were showing on one of the news channels the hotspots for measles breaking out. Hotspot now for measles in America, Georgia and Florida and some of the southern states are being eaten up with the cases of measles. Where'd it come from? I thought we'd about eradicated that in America. Where does it come from where we have major, major diseases today that we thought in America we had eradicated years and years ago, and we're finding them it breaking out today? It's because of the illegal invaders. Hear me. When these illegal invaders come in, they're not required to get inoculated. They're not required to get a vaccination. They're not required to wear a mask. They're not required to go down to the hospital and get an examination and have the proper treatment for their illnesses. They're simply spreading them in our schools, through our schools. Ladies and gentlemen, where our children are at risk of deadly diseases as a result of these illegal invaders coming in. And Joe Biden and the Communist Marxist Democratic Party allowing it to take place, disallowing anything that's called law in the land. I'm looking at an article by Hillsdale College titled the article, An Immigration Crisis Beyond Imagination. Let me just read you the introductory paragraph to this article. In 1960, the Eisenhower administration began counting the number of foreign nationals apprehended or encountered by what was then called the U.S. border control when crossing into the U.S. over its southern borders with Mexico. These figures have been published and closely monitored through the years, and there has never been anything like the number that we're seeing today. A human tsunami of previously unfathomable size is being released. The Border Patrol has had to handle over 7.6 million border crossings in just 36 months, has smashed every record, with each year's numbers exceeding the previous year's numbers and leaping forward with a major single bound. Ladies and gentlemen, the article is very, very scary. It's a lengthy article. We'll read you two other paragraphs. Of the over 7.6 million illegals encountered at the Border Patrol since 2021, the number allowed to stay in the U.S. somewhere north of 5 million. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a conservative number. But with the percentage of those allowed to stay approaching 100%, its current trend holds, if the current trend holds, the total allowed to remain in the U.S. under the Biden administration will reach tens of millions by next January. Here's the poignant points. Even with a surge in illegal crossings in 2019, this was due to the legal loophole that encouraged illegals to cross with minors. The Trump administration had brought apprehension down to between 800 and 1,500 a day for his final year in office. 4 months into the Biden administration, apprehension spiked to 6,000 a day. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at far more than that. There were 2.24 million apprehensions in 2022. The daily average, 6,573. In 2023, the average daily was 8,219. In 2024, so far, it's averaged 12 to 15,000 per day. This article states, more than 330 as of November the 2023 are at the FBI's terror wall on the FBI's terror watch list. Ladies and gentlemen, we're letting terrorists come into America and set up headquarters in America for the ultimate attack from the inside, from within our nation. This article states, this article says this, many are murderers, rapists, kidnappers, and violent criminals. More than a million have been lawfully ordered to be deported by judges in the U.S., but nevertheless, they remain in America regardless of what the courts say. The dismissal by the executive branch of our government of hundreds of thousands of cases of immigration laws violations are unprecedented in America. So, ladies and gentlemen, what are your thoughts? Should we be concerned as Americans? Should we be concerned as Christians, as conservatives? Should we be concerned about the ultimate evisceration of law and order in America, the ultimate evisceration of our Bill of Rights? Should we take a stand? How should we respond as Christians, as a nation today? Ladies and gentlemen, these illegal invaders are being given everything that it takes to live, everything that it takes to have their movement and being. The nations like Venezuela, ladies and gentlemen, I said earlier, they're opening their borders, they're opening their jails, they're opening their prisons, and they're literally allowing the worst of the worst to come in to America. I'm looking at a headline, The Deliberate Dismantling of America. Let me read that again. The Deliberate Dismantling of America. What Biden is doing is not by accident. What Biden is doing is not by happenstance. It has a purposeful end goal, and that's to dismantle America. And this article starts out with our founding fathers of what they did and their position in history of protecting America, protecting the Constitution. But ladies and gentlemen, this article says this. That's changed. Just in the past 36 months under the Biden administration, the rule of law no longer applies to our sovereignty as a nation. Joe Biden has opened our borders to drug cartels, terrorists, criminals, sex offenders, child traffickers, MS-13 gang, Islamic terrorists, shoplifters, welfare fraud, and worse it gets. As of January 10, 2024, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz stated that we now see an added 9.6 million illegal aliens operating within our borders at a cost of $163 billion of taxpayer money on an annual basis. That's on top of the 40 million illegal aliens shown in the first part of the series. The long-term ramifications of this invasion will prove a disaster of our welfare system, our financial system, our economic system, our housing, our schools, and our quality of life, and the ultimate sustainability of our nation. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, this is a complete invasion of illegals and the so-called asylum fakers.
Yes.
Because there was an international lawyer speaking, and he was saying that in order for you qualify for asylum, the borderline country from the one you're escaping from is the one that by international law you're supposed to apply.
That's right.
You got people from India, you got people from Russia, you got people from China, you got people from Mongolia, you got people from Western Europe. Are they borderline with the U.S.? Last time I checked, they don't.
That's right.
But this administration is so insane that they don't care. And they know what's going on. But don't be surprised within a year or two, you're going to hear all those liberals crying, we need to legalize those poor dreamers.
Yes.
That were forced to come to America. That's their goal. That's what they're aiming for. Because they know that the American people is waking up. And we're not buying their lies anymore. Even the black community in Chicago, they were denied like $50 million like 2 years ago in a huge program in the city of Chicago. But yet, this new mayor, a liberal too, used over $50 million for the illegals. And they said, wait a minute, you didn't have the money for us citizens, but you do for illegals? So now they don't know what to say. They had no answer. And they are against the wall. And the black community, they're calling the Republicans to speak with them. I don't think the Republicans need to speak. They just need to look at the numbers. Under Trump, the illegal crossing was at his lowest. And with this administration, it's at his highest. The numbers don't lie. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just common sense, and you see the difference. But, I mean, it's just insane as to what is happening. You know what I mean? People that is not being vetted, people that have criminal records, people that has done all kind of crazy things, they're being released to the public like nothing happens. And I wouldn't be surprised. Well, thank God it happened in Georgia. But if that crime happened in California, I wouldn't be surprised he would be released. Remember that illegal that
yes.
shot and killed that the same liberals juror? They say, oh, no. It was the gun's fault because he discharged itself. You kidding me? And that guy is still walking free.
That's right.
So, I mean, this is insanity at the highest level, brother. And it's not that we have no love or compassion. We do, but the Bible says that we need to abide by the written laws. And if you break the law, you're going to hell the consequences. That's what the Book of Romans says.
That's right, Christians. Absolutely.
But these people, Jose,
let me ask you a question. You touched on the young lady, the 22-year-old nursing student at the University of Georgia. She was summarily slain. That's in the state of Georgia. How should they treat him? There's some that are saying, well, they just need to deport him. Should he be deported or tried and convicted? What should be the outcome?
He needs to be tried and convicted here in the U.S. because once they put him on an airplane, that dictator there is going to release him, and he's going to maybe kill more people in the native country. I mean, it's the only problem that we have is we have to pay for the meals and everything. But if you want justice, have him pay here. Not in dictator Venezuela, because he's going to be released. He doesn't want him in jail. He released all those criminals and sent them to U.S. The only country that is taking them is the Democrats. Where is the AOC crying? Remember when she was crying crocodile tears when Trump was in the White House? And where is the Ramos? And where are the Acostas challenging this administration? Or better yet, where are the fact checkers? Checking all the lies that they said that this is not an invasion. So, brother, we have to pray a lot. We have to be mindful. And we have to protect our kids because there's a lot of diseases coming back to the U.S. thanks to the illegals, because these people, they haven't even seen a doctor in their life once. They're not vaccinated. So we have to be very careful of that, brother. There's gonna be a breaking of diseases in the school system. This is a sad situation, brother. And there's more to it. But anyway, brother, it's horrible.
Well, Jose, it's my opinion that every parent listening needs to withdraw your child from the public school. It's time, mm-hmm. I believe, to stand up, speak up, and say, no, my child is not going to be put exposed to the garbage being taught in the public schools, the porn that's there, the LGBTQ agenda, and certainly I do not want my child being introduced to a disease that perhaps will take that child's life. I'd rather see, and I've said this as our four boys were growing up, I'd rather see them grow up as a dummy, uneducated, than to put them in the cesspool system called the public educational system. I believe it's time moms start teaching their kids at home, put them in homeschool or Christian school or some group scenario so they can be taught the Word of God and the academics also. Jose, we need to keep praying. We need to keep praying and ask God to intervene.
There's also, brother, in the Jacksonville area that I know of and the surrounding areas, homeschool programs, Christian-based.
Yes.
And there's a group, yes, because I know some family that they had joined it, and you can see the difference from day to dark. It is amazing. It's a Christian background curriculum, but if the mother has the blessing to, you know, teach those kids, why not do it? God bless you, brother. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your input. You're spot on with your statements. I go back to the Georgia murderer that murdered the 22-year-old nursing student at the University of Georgia. I believe it needs to be tried in the state of Georgia. I believe he needs to be found guilty. I believe he needs to be sentenced to death. Georgia still has the electric chair as a way of putting a criminal that's charged with murder, to put him to death. I don't believe that Georgia should be responsible for having to sustain his food, clothing, and shelter for 20 or 30 years before he dies a natural death. And I'm not a one that believes we need to harm people, but I believe justice is justice. God created the death penalty in Genesis chapter 9. You take a life, your life's going to be taken. I believe that needs to be carried out with this case, and that perhaps will be a signal to others that you can't enter into America, take someone's life, and somehow, some way think that it's okay. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to a closing thought. The special counsel, Robert Herb, said that Joe Biden was not cognitive well enough to be tried and convicted by a jury. If he's not cognitive enough to be tried by a jury for his being one that has sold America, he should be charged with treason. He should be found guilty for taking the documents that he didn't have the right to have. He could not in any way nullify what he's done. But the chief investigator said he's not cognitively well enough to be tried. So if that's the case, ladies and gentlemen, why should he be in office? Why shouldn't he be replaced? And I believe that's going to happen in the convention for the Democrats when they meet. 300 delegates going to find somebody else other than Joe Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester.